You're on with Mario Lopez.
What's up? You're on with Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio from both the Netflix and Hulu documentaries about Fyre Festival, Seth Krosno and his attorney, Stacy Miller. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great. Doing great, man. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming by. North Carolina.
That's right.
Right? You like it out here in L.A.?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Great weather.
Well, it's nicer than what you attended over there at the Fyre Festival. At least it looks that way. So, Seth, what were you expecting when you got there, man?
Well, we thought it would be, you know, what was advertised, you know, and we had purchased a lodge.
Who's we?
My friend Mark and I. So this is all Mark's idea. He talked me into it. And I went to kind of parody the influencer kind of angle. I'm a comedy writer. And so I thought this would be funny. But I still thought we'd, you know, get what was advertised. And so when we showed up and saw, you know, the tents and the Amazon boxes and mattresses everywhere, that was not what we expected at all.
How long were you there before you realized what was going on?
Probably about half an hour, because once we got to the main house, I'm thinking, well, our lodge is around the corner, you know, maybe they're still setting up, like the festival starts officially tomorrow, so maybe this is just like last minute prep or something. And maybe right around the corner, our stuff will be ready. And that was not the case. So
wow. And you're a comedy writer, you said?
Yes.
You said? So in a weird way, doesn't that provide a lot more material for you?
It did. It did. So it's kind of
sort of a blessing in disguise?
Yes, it was. So
how long were you there, and how did you eventually make it back?
So we got there probably 5 or 6 on Thursday evening, made it back to Miami by about 11 o'clock Friday morning.
Oh, so you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't have to spend the night on the festival site like some people did. We managed to get on the last flight out, which was a bunch of like on and off the plane and getting locked in the airport and all that fun stuff.
When did you realize your social media posts were getting picked up by everyone?
Around 10 o'clock that evening. And I think it was because I just brought a ton of extra batteries, because they had said, like, we'll have charging stations. And I'm like, all right, I probably need to bring some batteries.
Smart.
So so I saw some things get, you know, posted in Billboard and Vice and stuff. And then throughout the night, like, CNN would pick it up and start calling you and stuff. And
what was the first tweet? Do you remember?
I think it was just, so Fyre Festival is a total, like, total chaos. Billy's standing on the table. It's a video of everybody looking at him, like school bus driving by, like music blaring. So
that must have been so, like, these, what blew me away when I was watching it is that these guys knew that inevitably it was going to be a disaster and a hot mess. How did they expect, did they just think you guys were going to be cool once you got there? They'd give you enough liquor and be, what was it like? Do you remember what were they were saying to you? What was Billy standing up there saying to you?
Well, he just kind of was answering one question after another. It's not like he kind of said to everybody, like, this is an announcement. You know, I thought, why didn't he just go up on stage and grab the microphone and say, if you have a tent, go stand in line here. If you need this or that, like a camp counselor could have done this. And so, he didn't really say much, and you'd kind of walk up to him, ask him a question, he'd answer. But he finally just yelled, everybody, if you have a lodge, just go get a tent. And that's when everybody kind of rushed to those tents that were set up, and it just sort of turned into a free for all.
And what were people saying? Just, were they freaking out? Were they sort of in a state of shock walking around?
A lot of people were just like, this is ridiculous. Is this thing even going on? And then once it got darker, that's when people start kind of getting in fights and yelling, and you hear people crying and stuff.
Looting and pillaging and everything else going on. I mean, that's when it became dangerous.
Well, I bet. And Stacy, why did you decide to go after Billy McFarlane in the festival?
Well, that's a good question. So I woke up one morning and my cell phone, social media was just going berserk. Seth had tagged me in a tweet, and I'd never heard of the Fyre Festival. I'd never heard of Ja Rule. And so I called Seth. I was like, Seth, you know, didn't know if he was joking at first. But as I saw more of his social media posts, I was like, whoa, he might be in some trouble. So I called him, and he was in the Bohemian airport. And immediately when he picked up the phone, I knew he was stressed out. And you could just tell from the tone of his voice, he was tired, hadn't eaten, was nervous, was worried about getting off the island. And
right.
I said, well, look, I got some friends in Miami. Went to law school for a year down there. You need some help? We can get you some help. Because no, I think I'm getting ready to fly out. And I said, well, when you get to Miami, call me. So he called me when he got to Miami.
You were friendly before.
Yeah, we knew each other for a while. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good question. Yeah,
got it.
And so by the time he came back up to Raleigh, the class action lawsuit had already been filed by Garagos' firm. And we had to make the decision whether we wanted to participate in that class action or file our own individual case. And it sort of came quickly apparent to me that the first person across the finish line was going to be in the best shape. And so we opted not to participate. And we figured out a way to sue them in North Carolina. And we got a verdict of $5 million. And so we were first. We're sitting first, which is very helpful.
Yeah, congrats. Smart.
Thank you.
Smart. Well played, gentlemen. Do you think you'll actually get any money from Billy?
We do. There's a lot of things we have found out. It's interestingly enough, during the course of this Netflix documentary, we have a lot of information. We think we are going to satisfy that judgment. Hopefully soon, but we have to be sort of circumspect about how we do that because there's a lot of other people circling around. I mean, comes down to it. I mean, honest to gosh, this Billy McFarland is like the millennial Madoff, right? He defrauded everybody.
Well put. Yeah.
Investors, the supermodels, the airline company, a lot of the artists, the consumers and the workers down there in the Bahamas. And so everybody he touched, he defrauded.
Did he have a history of this?
He does have a history. He ran a company called McNesis,
right,
which was a bit of a scam. And so he, you know, and then once he was arrested and indicted, got out pending sentencing, and then turned around and did the same thing again.
He started another scam, right? He
started another scam.
And wow.
It takes a special person to do that.
You're dedicated.
Yeah.
Dedicated. He's in prison at the moment, correct?
He is.
Yes.
What did he eventually get sentenced with?
6 years for money laundering.
For money laundering.
And so he got just under $27 million worth of fraud. And I think the fortunate thing for him was he was prosecuted in the Southern District of New York, where Madoff was prosecuted, where a lot of the Wall Street guys were prosecuted.
Right.
So those judges were used to seeing big numbers.
Right.
Had he been in the Middle District or the Eastern District of North Carolina, I can assure you he would have gotten more than 6 years.
Really? Wow. And why has Ja Rule avoided any sort of legal drama repercussions?
Well, we met with Ja Rule's lawyer, and we have come to the understanding to go on to other business opportunities.
Ah.
okay. Enough said.
Now, this is fascinating. You two have a podcast about the festival called Dumpster Fire. Great title. So what's the pod all about?
So it originally, I got back and I thought, well, let's just tell the stories of some of the other people that went and how they got involved and how they heard about it. And then just things kept happening. Like, this was before Billy had been charged and before Billy's second scam and before we had the $5 million verdict. And then I also filed a trademark for Fyre Festival, which is a whole nother story. So we're kind of chronicling all of these stories and the fraud that Billy was, committing before, during, and after the festival through the kind of dumpster fire angle, because the whole thing is a dumpster fire.
Are you learning, or continuing to learn?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you'll interview somebody and they'll talk about a story they heard where Billy might be earning rental income off of property in this city, and he might be doing this. So it's like, we have to verify these stories before we, go on record stating them, but you just learn so much talking to people kind of casually and off the record. So
where has all the money gone from the festival?
That's a good question. We don't know the answer to that completely. I mean, I handle fraud cases all the time, right? Not every fraud case I handle involves supermodels or the Bahamas, right?
Right.
But
it's a sexy fraud case.
It's a bit of a sexy fraud case, yeah. But fraudsters are, they sort of do the same things. You can sort of follow the money. It takes you a little while. Reason to believe there might be some money offshore, so to speak.
Okay. Does he face more repercussions when he gets out of or done with his sentence? Billy?
We've heard through talking to some people that there are possibilities that the things that the bankruptcy attorney and the bankruptcy receivers are finding, like, there may be additional charges brought, but,
right,
we don't know we can't speak on those. But it's, like he mentioned, the Southern District of New York does these huge huge cases. And if this thing weren't just delivered on a platter on social media and through the reporting,
they didn't have to work too hard.
Yeah. It was just like, all right, wire fraud, this fraud. I mean, he could have had a lot more kind of on his plate, but.
How much time do you think we would have got in North Carolina?
Well, the guidelines, I'd have to go back and look at the federal guidelines, but for the amount, the
ballpark
amount, I mean, he'd have been in 20 years or so.
Look at that.
Yeah.
By the way, deserve that.
Yeah.
After all those, you know what I mean? Yeah. Seriously. Seth, I know you were in both Fry Fest docs. Who do you think told the story better?
I think the Netflix film told the story better of what happened. And it kind of was a, I prefer that film better, or prefer that film. The Hulu documentary did go into the Magnesia stuff a little bit more, which is interesting, but that's part of what we're covering on the podcast is there's a whole behind the scenes there as to why Hulu put theirs out on the Monday before the Netflix one came out when they originally wanted to do a multi-part series. So there's a lot of stuff there, especially with both of them being involved with Billy. So, you know, who paid him? When did they, all that kind of stuff.
And Billy was in the Hulu one.
Yes, he interviewed in the Hulu one.
And he denied everything.
Yeah, it was pretty much a wasted interview. You know, he was just like kind of sort of a sociopath.
Just to get him there. Has this consumed the stand-up act?
What's that?
Has this consumed the stand-up act? Does it pretty much deal with this episode in your life?
What do you mean?
Well, you said you were a comedian, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Did I hear that?
So I'm a sort of comedy writer, satire.
Oh, comedy writer. I'm sorry. Took it as a stand-up comic.
Sorry.
My bad.
He's funny though.
I promise. My bad.
Yeah.
Because if you were a stand-up comedian, how great would that be, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad we got clarity on that. All right, I want to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers. Okay.
All right.
Go-to karaoke song.
Man, I guess it'd have to be something Ja Rule.
There you go, comedy writer. Favorite Instagram follow?
Jeez, Stacy Miller. But I'd have to think of a...
Fair enough. Probably
dogs. A lot of good dog accounts out there.
Celebrity crush growing up?
Oh, man. Maybe Kelly Kapowski, I guess.
Good taste.
Yeah.
Last show you binge watched?
I restarted binge watching Game of Thrones to get ready for
just
Sunday.
To get prepared, right? I know a lot of people that have been done that lately.
Man,
that's a commitment.
Yeah, I'm only on like season one.
It's so like a month worth of TV.
Started too late.
Favorite Ja Rule song?
I guess Always on Time because he never showed up.
Favorite music festival?
It's going to have to be Fyre Festival.
Well, you can check out The Dumpster Fyre wherever you find podcasts. Yeah. You can follow them on Instagram at WNFIV and at Stacy Miller NC. All right, gentlemen, thanks for stopping
by. Thank you so much.
All right.
This is great.
On with Mario Lopez. Woo!